Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we are studying servanthood, and we've called this sermon series Community Service. And as we look at many different people throughout the book of Acts, and we look at not those main people like Paul and Peter, and we're looking at those who are specifically working to be part of the body, to bless the body together. And they were an integral part of what was happening within the dynamic of God's Spirit. It was as if Jesus Christ had never left the earth, because he was present with his people. His Spirit was working and powerful. So let's look this morning at Acts, and we're going to be looking at several different passages, but we're going to start with Acts chapter 12, verse 12, and that's where we're going to begin our study this morning. It's all a matter of perspective. What God brings to us in serving him, especially when things don't more important. See, God has a purpose when we come to these places of hardship, when we come to these places of crossroads. He is doing something in and through our lives. And we're going to see that this morning through John Mark. And hopefully, each and every one of us can apply this to our own lives as the Spirit applies it. Consider yourself in your service. I'm not using the word ministry. In your service to the Lord. That can look very different for many different people. What God has called you to do, to serve him. What are you doing? How are you walking in faithfulness to the Lord? How are you pursuing him in this way? How are you drawing near to him in a relationship? That's what we're going to study this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It is enduring. It is everlasting. It is what will survive when all things have passed away. And so, Lord, we pray right now for the power of your Spirit to work in the truth and the power of your word. Be with us, speak to us, change us and transform us. And whatever good word, Lord, you have, may it come forth. And whatever things of me, may they fall away. We pray your blessing, Lord, and clarity in our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, a pilot was flying a southeastern route over the U.S. And as he was flying, he needed to get a time check. And so he called the tower, the local tower, and he said, we're passing over 35,000 feet, and we need a time check. The tower responded, well, what airline are you? And the pilot said, what difference does that make? Just need a time check. He said, the tower replied, oh, it makes all the difference in the world. If you're Trans World Airlines or Pan Am, it's 1,600 hours. If you're United or Delta, it's 4 o'clock. If you're Southwest Airlines, the little hands on the 4 and the big hands on the 12. And if you're Skyways Airlines, it's Thursday. It's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? A matter of perspective in our lives of what God is doing in our life here and in this moment. We capture and we see little snippets of this guy, John Mark, this brother in the Lord who just comes on the scene in verse 12 of chapter 12 of the book of Acts. And let's look at that just for a moment. And we get the setting for where we first are introduced to John Mark. He has two names. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But as we read the scripture, it says, when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose name was Mark. So two names, John and Mark. John is his Hebrew name, and Mark is his Greek or Roman name, where many were gathered together and were praying. This is our first introduction into him. Let me talk about the context. What does this mean? Who's the he that shows up there to Mary's house, the mother of John Mark? What is the situation? Well, it's a matter of perspective, right? Here's the perspective. In chapter 12 and coming off of 11, we're at really dark times for the early church. It's been nearly a year or perhaps 2 years since the Lord Jesus Christ has died and risen from the grave and has ascended, and Pentecost has come, and the Holy Spirit has come and indwelled God's people, and the church has grown and grown exponentially. But even as many people have come to Christ and come to faith, now persecution begins. And Stephen was stoned and persecuted. And persecution begins from the Jewish community and begins to push back at the Christians. And so the Christians flee Jerusalem as they go. They're sharing the gospel, and many people are coming to faith. But then we see gentlemen like Saul, who wants to make a name for himself and is religiously persecuting the church, even going after them specifically. Well, Saul, as we know, becomes an apostle. He's interrupted by the Lord at Damascus, and he's blinded. And we had that whole discussion of Ananias praying for him, and he can finally see. And all of a sudden, he's a believer, and he's preaching about Christ Jesus. But the persecution has continued, especially in Jerusalem. That was all the way up in Damascus, and then Barnabas brings him over to Antioch, and that's all the way up north. But back down in Jerusalem, back down in this area, King Herod is beginning to even get involved in the persecution. This is King Herod Antipas, not King Herod the Great. He has passed away a long time ago. But this is the same Antipas that had Jesus come before him. So he's familiar with who they're even talking about. Well, King Herod captures Peter and James, the brother of John. The two of them are in prison. And these two important heroes of the faith, as they're in prison, James is put to death by King Herod. And Herod sees that it pleases the Jewish leaders. And so he plans to do the same for Peter. And that very night in chapter 12, we hear of an angel visiting Peter in this miraculous moment. Peter doesn't know what's going on. He's having a vision of some sort, he thinks, as he walks past the guards, as the chains are gone, as the doors are open, and he wanders through the city. And it's not until he's partway through the streets that he finally realizes, this is all real. This is all really happening. And so he goes to where he knows the church has been praying earnestly for him throughout the night, has been praying deeply, because Herod had planned to even kill him in the morning. Now, this is where we come to 12:12. And where it says again, when he realized this, meaning he realized this is all real, he went to the house of Mark, the mother of John, whose other name is the house of Mary, whose mother is John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. That's our small introduction. He comes to this place, and he sees Mary, he sees all these people. In fact, it goes on to say, and when he knocked at the door at the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came and answered, recognizing Peter's voice. In her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran and reported that Jesus was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You're out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, "It's his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they opened and they saw him, they were amazed. But motioning to them with his hands to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." Now, this is James, the half-brother of Jesus. He is one of the leaders of the Jewish community. Not James, the brother of John. He's already passed away. He's already been executed. Then he departed and he went to another place. So we see the scene. John Mark was there at that moment to witness this miraculous work of God in Peter. And this might have even began a relationship with him and Peter in the church. And because we see a closeness even as we read 1 Peter. And I'll read that text a little bit later to you. And we can see how close Peter and John Mark had become. But here's this young man. He witnesses this great miracle of God. And he becomes close with Peter in this community in Jerusalem that's persecuted, that's in dark times, that doesn't know what tomorrow will bring or what the Lord is doing, but they know their mandate is to preach and proclaim the good news. Well, then many other things happen. We get Saul and Barnabas. They're out there still preaching in Antioch. They're still proclaiming, and they're still teaching. And the Lord is about to do a work that is going to be remarkable. But some time has passed. What about this young man, John Mark? What do we know about him? Well, that's about to the extent that we know of him, other than he's also the cousin of Barnabas. That's right. He's the cousin of Barnabas. And remember, Barnabas, when we're first introduced to him in the book of Acts, chapter 8, he is described as one who is so generous, and he's giving forth a whole land property, and he's called Barnabas. That's actually his nickname. His name's Joseph. Everybody calls him the son of encouragement. And so this is there's a connection already to Barnabas, this guy that took a chance with Saul and brought him to the apostles and encouraged them to support him and call him a brother in Christ, even though they were very afraid. Well, his first name is Hebrew, Yohanan, and this symbolizes his Jewish heritage. And the second part, Mark, is Roman, which shows that he's probably in that Hellenistic group of Jews, those who haven't grown up necessarily in Jerusalem. As we read, though, and we read about a servant girl, Rhoda, and we also read about an outer gate, we see that their home is more in the style of a Roman-style house, where they would have a larger courtyard, and it would be gated off. So even as the servant girl goes up to that gated area, we get a sense, one, they're wealthy, they've got servants, they've got property. We think about their cousin Barnabas, who had property that he was able to sell. We get the idea that here is this Hellenized Jewish young man who has grown up in kind of a cross-cultural world. And wouldn't he be the right kind of fit to go out and proclaim to the Gentiles and to the other Hellenistic Jews, those who are not in Jerusalem proper, those who are not Judaizers, or those who are not even from the Jewish faith collectively, but have been kind of cast out? He seems like a perfect fit. And so that's why we see a little bit later on in this very chapter, chapter 12, verse 25. Look with me here, because Barnabas and Saul have come down to Jerusalem, and they have found a young man that they want to take with them. And that young man is John Mark. He seems to fit the bill. We're going to move on. So, Logan, would you move on to the next slide? I just want to show to you, in this perspective of what we're doing to serve the Lord, what does the road look like? Well, we see the beginning for John Mark. John Mark is down here in Jerusalem. I got the little circle on the map, and you can see that. Go ahead, Logan, hit the animation, if you would. But now he moves with Peter and with Barnabas and Saul in verse 25 of 12, and they go all the way up to Antioch. Read this. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name is Mark. Well, they take this young man, thinking that he will be of service, that he will be a blessing. Maybe he'll even preach and teach a little bit. And if we actually know the timetable, from the time of Peter coming home or coming to Mary's house where John Mark lives, that was in 42 AD. And by the time that they're going out on this little journey and they go up, this is 46 AD. 4 years have passed within this chapter. Luke doesn't quite capture that, but we know that there's about a four-year gap. So during that time, John Mark has grown in his grown up, probably even physically, grown up in maturity, grown up with Peter, learning about Jesus Christ, learning his Lord and Savior and how to teach and how to preach. So they're bringing this young man along. He's kind of a representative of the learning of the apostles down in Jerusalem. And he's coming with Barnabas, the son of encouragement, and Saul, who's now becoming more and more vibrant in sharing the truth and having a real heart for the Gentiles, which the Lord is yet to expand even greater, calling him into Greek in his second missionary journey. But now we're on the very heart and the very beginning of the first missionary journey. Look with me at chapter 13, the first verse. Now there was in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, who is also called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Naaman, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and sent them off. So being set off by the Holy Spirit, they went to Seleucia and from there to Cyprus. So go ahead, Logan. Let's take a trip together. And go ahead and hit the next graphic. All the way to Cyprus. And guess who comes along with them? John Mark. Look down at verse 13. Now Paul and his companions had set sail for Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John Mark left them to return to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch of Pisidia. Now go ahead to go to the next one, brother. So they have traveled all the way from Antioch across the water to Cyprus. They were ministering in Cyprus, and you can get part of that ministry in Cyprus in the second part or the very first part of chapter 13. And you can read some of the things that John Mark was involved in and witnessed and saw, even to the point where they got to speak to the proconsul. That would be one of the Roman leaders in Cyprus. So here they are proclaiming to the Roman leader in Cyprus. Paul is even sharing the gospel of Christ. And John Mark witnesses that Gentiles are being told about the gospel of Jesus. Well, something happens, because when John Mark gets back to the mainland, there in Perga, he decides to go home. Go to the next one. So he either travels by land all the way back home, or go to the next one. We don't know exactly which one of these routes he took, or he went by sea back home. But either way, it leaves us with a very unexpected situation. Go to the next slide. This unexpected situation where this young man has decided not to stay. He signed up for a missionary journey. He signed up for this service to the Lord. But at some point in time, he backs away. For some reason, he changes his mind and he leaves, and they have to wave goodbye. We don't get Paul and Barnabas's reaction in this moment. All we see is that John Mark simply left. We'll see the ramifications of that in a little bit. But we have to speculate, and many scholars, more brilliant minds than mine, have speculated as to why did John Mark leave at this time. And I want us to consider many times in our road of service to the Lord, unexpected things will happen. The coronavirus and what we're going through right now is unprecedented. But I'm talking within your service to the Lord. Times when things have happened that you never expected, or times when people have withdrawn from even joining you in ministry or in service to the Lord, or even times where you've just had a complete change of heart and have stepped out. What happens when these unexpected moments come? Well, here's some possible ideas about why John Mark stepped out. Maybe it was youth and inexperience. He didn't feel prepared. He was scared to be so far away from Jerusalem, and he had to go home. He kind of panicked and went back homesick. Well, that's a possibility. Maybe he didn't sense the call of serving the Lord like this anymore. Maybe he sensed that God had something else for him and he left. Maybe there was some other decision that was made by him. Maybe even the situation, and this is where many scholars hang their hat, the situation of what happened in Cyprus, of proclaiming to the proconsul, proclaiming to those who are Gentiles, and to operate outside the synagogue of preaching about Jesus Christ, might have been too much for John Mark. You see, the Council of Jerusalem has not yet happened. We've had the encounters with Peter and Cornelius, and we've seen the sharing of the faith to the Ethiopian eunuch, and we've seen that God is encouraging the Gentiles to come. But what hasn't been worked out is whether or not they're still called to obey circumcision and other Mosaic laws. That is yet to come in chapter 15 of Acts, and this is part of that moment. Some speculate that John Mark was so overtaken by this and really upset about this that he went back and even shared that news with the brothers in Jerusalem. We don't quite know exactly what that would be or why he would go back, but we know that whatever it was upset Paul considerably. And we'll see that in the next effect, because not only do unexpected things happen, brothers and sisters, and we can expect, and that's kind of an oxymoron, we can expect the unexpected when it comes to serving the Lord. In fact, I see the hand of the Lord in this moment, in this unexpected situation, for both John Mark to grow him in Christ and also for Paul to grow and for Barnabas to be able to do something that Barnabas does as a mature believer in the Lord. This is a growth time for all of these brothers. Let's go to the next one, because there comes a time. Oh, and by the way, I brought up that just to show us, yeah, we have no idea why John Mark left. We're not too sure, but we were encouraged by the fact that something else happens and the Lord is doing something in their midst. Let's go to the next slide. Sorry, I forgot that animation. That was a fun one. Many times in our service to the Lord, we come to a crossroads. We come to that place where we have many decisions to make, and the decision that we see that is needing to be made at this moment in time, we have to move all the way forward to chapter 15. So if you move with me to chapter 15 in your Bibles, we'll read this. Paul and Barnabas have come back. They've come back in the beginning of chapter 15, and they are part of the Jewish council that's now brought together. I mean, it's Jerusalem council that's not now brought together. And this Jerusalem council is specifically dealing with the fact that Gentiles are now being added to the church, and what shall they require of the Gentiles? And James, the half-brother of Jesus, leads this first church council. And it's found in the end, they don't have to hold to circumcision, but they wanted to encourage them to walk in the faith, and that they too are included in the ministry and in the body of Christ. And towards the end of this chapter, we see that the Lord is now calling Paul and Barnabas from that first missionary journey that they took to now a second missionary journey. And that's where I want us to draw our attention to right now. If you turn with me to verse 36 of 15. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the Lord and see how they are." Now, Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take him with them, one who had withdrawn from when they were in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from each other. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers in the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. This moment has come back, and it's 2 years later. That was in 46 AD, and now it's 48 AD. And in these 2 years, as John Mark has been away from them, as they've been serving and proclaiming and building churches and seeing people come to Christ, all Paul knows is John Mark was not part of that. Why was Paul so adamant that he shouldn't come back? Why was he holding to the idea that anyone who has stepped away, especially we can't trust him to come with us anymore? And yet Barnabas has a completely different reaction. There is such a striking difference between them in this that it becomes really a moment of clashing, a moment of real trial between the brothers. Let me read this understanding. As we come to this situation and they're about to leave and Barnabas is saying, hey, we've got to take John Mark, the verb that's used here about him wanting to take him is in the imperfect form in the Greek, which means he is not just saying, hey, you know what, I have an idea, let's take John Mark. He's saying, hey, Paul, John Mark, let's take him. Hey, Paul, John Mark. Oh, by the way, John Mark, he's all packed. He's ready to go. Hey, you know what? We got matching tunics, John Mark and I. We're cousins. Maybe people will know. Yeah, he's coming, right? He's coming. We're planning on having. He was constant in his insisting that John Mark come with him. Now, why was that? Why was Barnabas so insistent that he would say, John Mark needs to come? I think that's part of Barnabas's character. He's a guy who gives second chances. He's a guy who wants to see people redeemed and growing in the Lord. But Paul at this point in time is not going to have any of that. He saw him as someone who stepped away from the ministry and someone who is not to be trusted. In fact, he is so adamant in this that there is such a sharp disagreement that the word that's used for sharp disagreement in English is paroxysm, and we might not use that in a sentence ourselves, but if you look it up, you'll see paroxysm is a sudden, violent expression of emotion and activity. It is one where it just escalates to the point where it is completely overdone. If this is even used in the idea of symptoms of somebody who has a disease, it means that their symptoms have increased dramatically. This moment has gotten to this point of tension. And let me just bring up an idea that how wonderful is it of Luke as this author and inspired by the Lord writing about this moment of contention between two heroes of the faith, that he would talk about them in such an open and honest way. See, we come to crossroads. We come to crossroads that will even put us in clash with brothers and sisters in Christ. And notice how Luke writes this. He doesn't write it as if one was right and the other was wrong. He just kind of presents that both of them had this idea, and this is what brought them to this loggerhead of pushing away from each other, and one would go one direction and the other would go another direction. Many of us have probably experienced those situations, and sometimes that brings out the worst in us. I like how Luke has described it here. Both of them went off to ministry. Both of them still had the purpose of Christ. Rather than being frustrated or angry or just upset or letting it burn inside them and holding fast to that, they saw that this was more of a journey for serving the Lord and the purpose of his gospel than it was about them. And I like how Luke moves them on in this story. They probably had those residual issues. They're probably still talking about it, thinking about it, praying about it, but they still moved on in the purpose of serving the Lord. Are you at a crossroads right now? you don't know exactly which way that God is having you serve or what he wants you to do, I want you to pray about that. Are you at a crossroads even with a brother or sister in Christ and you need to work that out? Maybe you need to even get some distance for a time to be able to pray about it and think about it. I pray and I encourage you to seek out good counsel. But keep serving the Lord. Don't withdraw. Don't pull back and say, well, that's it, I'm done. See this as a journey of what God is doing in you. Because I want to take this moment and say, this is where God begins to do a deeper work in John Mark. He begins to change John Mark. He's now with Barnabas, the son of encouragement. This guy, Joseph, who just knows how to take people under his wing, and they blossom. That's Barnabas' gift. And now John Mark is under that gift. Paul had been under it for many years. And I want to tell you, too, I think this is a journey for Paul. For Paul to go out and share the gospel and see the powerful work that God has for him, but also to have a moment to begin to understand what God has called John Mark for. And we'll talk about that. Let's go to the next slide. You see, our journey with the Lord doesn't end. That's why even as we come to crossroads, even as we come to places where we don't know exactly what God's going to do and we're making hard decisions and we're trusting in him, but we're serving him, at times it feels like we're walking blind. At times it feels like pressure is coming down upon us and changing us and transforming us. And so what I want to encourage you is what happens 12 or 14 years later. 14 years from what we just read in the book of Acts, we get what is written by Paul himself concerning John Mark in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. I think we have that as our next slide. Go ahead and go to that next slide. Let's read this together. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. You see, Paul's in prison right now. And he's writing to the church. And this is 62 A.D. Remember, last we left them, it was 48 A.D. 49 as they were sending off once again for the second missionary journey, and they didn't take John Mark. This is 14 years later. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instruction. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men, note this, these are the only men, these three men, are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. What has happened in these years that now Paul would have such a disagreement that he'd say, no way, we're never taking a guy that has walked away from the ministry, that now 14 years later he would say, oh, John Mark, he is one of three guys I can count on as a fellow worker for the gospel. He is a kingdom worker. He is laboring with me to also, he is a guy who comforts me. Well, let me tell you, it's one word. Sanctification. God's been sanctifying. God's been working through John Mark and changing him and transforming him and expanding what it means to be in ministry, what it means to sacrifice, what it means to love others. And has even during this time in 50-55 AD has inspired John Mark to write our first account of the gospel, the teachings of Peter. And we get that in the Gospel of Mark. What a blessing. What God has done through the mentoring of Barnabas, then now John Mark would be like a Barnabas to Paul and encourage him and be one of the only people that he would shout out to as a blessing and somebody who is an encouragement. And if he comes to you, welcome him. greet him. And what Paul is saying is greet him like you'd greet me. Well, Paul isn't done there. In fact, we have several other circumstances where this comes. Let's go on to the next one. Go on to the next slide. We see this also, again, in the very end of Paul's life. 2 Timothy 4:11. Paul is talking to his dear beloved son in the Spirit, Timothy, who is a pastor in Ephesus and has been dealing with a really tough church, but a critical church. And as he addresses this final letter, probably from Paul, because he is facing execution, and it's about 64 AD. It's about 2 years later. He's been in prison. In fact, when we read Colossians, he wrote that from prison, from where we would read the end of the book of Acts, in Acts 28. He's in prison there, and he's writing, and he's praising the Lord for John Mark, and he's just saying, greet him, please. And then 2 years later, he's rearrested, and he's back in Rome, and now he's truly facing execution. And so in these final moments of his life, this is what he says. Look at what he says. Luke alone is with me. He's saying, nobody else has been here with me, but Luke alone is with me. And I want you to do something for me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me in ministry. 16 years has gone by since that great separation of, oh, we can't take a guy like that, to he is very useful to me in ministry. You know what this is? This is God growing us. This is God changing us. This is us needing to put into perspective the unexpected road that you're on now and how God has his hand in it. Even as people separate, even as people move away from each other, or even as we go different directions in serving him, this might mean that ministries change within a church. It might mean the things that we thought were rock solid are more liquid now. And really, that's the perspective we should have seen from the beginning, is that these things come and these things go, but what remains is God's work in our lives and in our hearts, how he's making us more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And he did that through John Mark. Look at all that he did. He used him to proclaim one of the earliest gospels that we have. This gospel that Luke, in fact, uses as a basis to begin his own gospel remarks in his historic account of Jesus Christ. And also Matthew uses that. You can find, they are called the synoptic gospels. They have a very similar usage to them. And many people believe that they drew from Mark's original document and Peter's teaching and all that he had taught Mark. And they expanded from there on their knowledge and the things that they had learned. Matthew from his own experiences as a disciple of Jesus. And Luke as a historian in all that he spoke to and all that he got to interview to write out that amazing story in which we even get the book of Acts as a second volume. But I wanted to close with this, and this is a very special thing, because I talked about how Peter was close to Mark. So if you turn with me to 1 Peter, I don't have it up there, but if you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 in your Bibles, you'll see this. I'm going to start at verse 12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is in Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings. This is the final greetings of Peter, as many did in the ancient world. They would write their end greetings. And so he's saying, greetings from the woman. And we don't know who this is. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greeting, as does Mark. This is the very same John Mark. And Peter says this, my son, John Mark, my son, just as if Paul was writing about Timothy and how close they were. Peter sees the closeness of John Mark in this way. I wanted you to see this because we don't know much about John Mark, but if we piece all these things together, we get the sense of a man who has grown in ministry, in usefulness. His purpose is to serve the Lord for the gospel, and he is a blessing to each and every person that he touches because God has been doing a work in him. I pray that the Lord is doing work in you. And I hope that you see that the journey is never over. God has a purpose for you in ministry and service. He's just doing a work right now. So don't be surprised that it's unexpected. Don't be surprised that you have to be forced to choose in a moment. But know that he is working with you. If you seek him, if you seek his word, if you're in prayer, if you're listening to your brothers and sisters in Christ and obeying and following the leadership of the church, the Lord is going to be with you and bless you. So I pray that each and every one of us find this blessing of the Lord and realize that we have to have a perspective about this road of service to God. Let's pray together. Father, help us in this. For many of us are facing those crossroads right now. Many of us have faced unexpected moments. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a moment of emotional anguish. Maybe it's even mental health, Lord. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's even a point of, Lord, how do I trust you at this moment? How do I make a decision about my family and my community or even my life and my job? How do I even think about the person that I'm courting or even the person that I love right now, my spouse, or there's issues with my children, Lord? How do I do this? I want you to realize, please, Lord God, give us that perspective to realize that you are doing work in us. May we turn to you in this. May we come alongside one another as Barnabas came alongside and encouraged John Mark and grew him in you, and you worked through him. As it expanded Paul's heart to see that their second chances can be given, just as Barnabas was teaching, Lord, let us too be people of second chances. Let us be wise in this, Lord, but let us be people with a heart like Barnabas and seeing that your work is never done. And I pray, oh God, that in the end we will see the great glory that you bring. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.